Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back again here on a sunny day here in Tucson, which of course is always the case. It's a pleasure to welcome here in the studio with me Christine Conti, who's executive director of the Tohono O'Chul Park. Hi, Christine. How are
Hi,
you today?
Hi, how are you today? I'm great. Thank you.
Good, good. Well, she's got a busy day ahead of us, folks, so we're lucky to snag her because of everything going on here in Tucson. Christine actually is a relatively new executive director of Tohono O'Chul Park, which is a nationally recognized oasis of nature, art, and culture right here on the northwest side of Tucson. She's a PhD anthropologist and cultural ecologist with contributions galore, starting with being a curator at the Colorado Springs Fine Arts Center to doing ethnographic research at the arts of the Sahelian and Niger River peoples for the Smithsonian Institution. Christine then moved to Tucson and built a nonprofit leadership career of over 20 years in the fields of marketing, donor and program development, education and curation at the likes of the Old Pueblo Museum. In fact, she was the founding director from 1986 to 1990, then moving to the Nature Conservancy of Arizona as Director of Marketing and Communication for 14 years, and the Arizona Desert Museum as Director of the Center for Sonoran Desert Studies, and then a cultural ecologist before she got snagged up to go and join the team at Tohono O'Chul Park. Truly hers is a full circle career, as I would say. So how's the new job going so far?
I love it. I absolutely love it. And couldn't be a better fit for me at this time.
Isn't that great? Well, and would you have ever predicted this kind of a journey for you, Christine?
Well, I don't think that we ever predict the detail, but we learn what the trajectory would be. Okay. And I think that it makes perfect sense in terms of my personal and career trajectory, yes.
Good for you, that's great. Well, for those who may not be familiar with Tohono O'Chul, if they drove over there right now, northwest side, Ina and Oracle, what would happen as they would drive into your parking lot? Because I truly feel it's a complete experience.
Well, today would be a very special experience. Not only would they have the entire park and our exhibits and our tea room to experience, but this is our annual spring plant sale, and it is a very big and special event. And they would go in the back, the eastern side of the park, off of Ina on Oracle, and they'll see the sign that says plant sale. And what they will find there, not only one of the most amazing arrays of desert, arid, adapted, and cold hardy plants native to our Sonoran Desert region, but they will get the full scale expert advice of our plant folks and our volunteers who are schooled in helping people choose the exact right thing for gardening in this area,
which is really important, not just for those of us who want to preserve the authentic environmental nature of things, but also the hardiness to survive these high temperature swings that certainly most recently the cold snaps that we got.
Exactly. And this is something where I think they will see in one place the beauty that you can have, especially people coming from other areas of the country who have, they miss their irises, they miss their forsythia, those kinds of plants, and they really don't think that they can have something as beautiful that is also appropriate and will last.
Well, I think the other thing people get surprised with when they visit Tucson, of course, is there's almost something blooming at every phase of the year.
That's exactly.
And for those
right.
who have a garden or really are discerning about their landscaping, that you can plant with that in mind.
That's exactly right. And speaking of that subject, we have a new garden area up on the ramp when they first come in the main entrance, which is called the Sonoran Seasons Garden. And it shows not the four seasons, but the actual seasons we have here in the Sonoran Desert, and it'll give people a snapshot of what their garden could look like, how they could plant a garden so that they will have something wonderful happening all year round.
I have to laugh, of course, for our listeners. Christine and I met outside the building this morning. She was unloading stuff from her purse. Well, I don't need this. I don't need that. And she pulls out her gardening gloves. So I would have to suggest that I know you are a lifelong gardener, and to think you now get paid for working in this kind of environment. I mean, this is like a dream come true, isn't it?
It is. And I have to say that everything that I have loved as a child from my earliest memories, in some way through the more than half a century of my life, has coming together in this one place.
Isn't that a fabulous thought? Just terrific. Well, beyond the gardening, obviously, but we also have, you know, all the wildlife that seems to find refuge in your center. How many acres is it again?
It's about 50 acres. The original 37 acres was donated by a incredible, wonderful couple, the Dick and Jean Wilson, who are some of the prime conservationists in our state. They have done so much, so lovingly and so generously that their legacy is what we have to enjoy at the busiest intersection in Tucson. We have this 50-acre oasis because of their vision.
And in fact, when you drive in, park, and walk in, you suddenly are transported to another place.
Absolutely.
I mean, even though you are in close proximity to that section of the Northwest.
Absolutely.
Well, tell us about your team that manages with your guidance there.
Well, I'm very fortunate. I'm very glad that if our listeners had heard the previous speaker, that I think, in listening to that, I think all of those, the strengths that he mentioned, I feel are represented on our team. And what I really celebrate about them is their diversity in their approach and at the very core, what comes together for all of them is a love of the Sonoran Desert region and the passion to bring that love and that sense of wonder to the greater public.
That's right. Now, your tea room, I know many times during the year they're using herbs and elements that are actually from the park.
Yes, as much as possible. We do have a garden. We call it our ethnobotany garden, and that's really ethno for people, and really it's both a garden where there are food plants that are native to this area, also things that attract wildlife at the same time, butterflies, bees. We do, at the tea room, use some of the things right from our garden.
Yeah, and then the art exhibits, I know we've, of course, had the pleasure of good friends of ours that have displayed, but there's also a very eclectic and interesting standing set of exhibits there, as well as you have special shows. Anything coming up?
Yes, absolutely. One of the things that we have right now is really a fascinating exhibit of sculptures by a Kenyan, a world-renowned Kenyan sculptor who has never shown here before, but thanks to a particular woman who had the insight to bring him to Tucson and let several of our organizations in Tucson share his work. His name is Kyoko Mwitiki, and he does the most whimsical, beautiful sculptures of recycled metal. Mm-hmm. And we have some of those for display. And the other piece of this is that you have the opportunity to discover them, because a number of them are within our garden area. And it's also the first time this Kenyan sculptor has ever created just for Tucson a whole host of animals native to the Sonoran Desert region.
Oh, that's great. For those of you who might be web streaming us, why don't you flip your screen and go to tohonachulpark.org. That's tohonachulpark.org. And you can see some of those sculptures right here. I know. Well, Christine, quite a career that you've enjoyed and the area of conservancy and environmental honoring and your travels overseas to work with the river peoples in Africa. Tell us how that all fits together from this idea of your PhD in anthropology.
Well, again, I have to hearken back to my earliest years as a child. Long before I had ever heard the word anthropology, I was fascinated with looking at what lies beneath the surface.
Okay.
That's one of the things that has carried with me and brought me to anthropology. The other thing is a burning desire to understand the world from other people's perspectives. And as our, I was marveling as our previous guest was listing the six principles of critical thinking, because I think that those are exactly the kinds of things that one learns as an anthropologist. You learn objectivity. You learn that you're not the center of the universe. And you learn a global view. And once you learn those things, you never see the world as one-sided or one facet. You can't. You can't escape it, as a matter of fact. And, you know, it also teaches you to look at the detail and nuance in the world and to learn from the perspectives of others, because truly, anything that you can envision can succeed or fail based on your ability to apply those kinds of principles. Mm-hmm. And through academic training, also, you learn the skills to enact them.
Right, right. And then also all the research techniques such as ethnography, the power of observation.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm just hearing you. It is a no surprise then that your career, your own youthful interests took you first into the arts then.
Yes. I've always loved the arts. And I have to say, one of the things I've learned in my life is that what the parent teaches children with all good intention, that you could be a jack of all trades and master of none, has a turning point. Mm-hmm. And that turning point is that there is a great power in eclecticism if you are able to gain the wisdom to use it wisely and to recognize that there is a fabulous role, just as there are a role for very detailed people and people with other skills, there's a very, very important role to play in for people to have those kinds of eclectic experiences.
Well, and in fact, that is indeed one of the missions of Tohono O'Chul, then.
It is exactly
missions. Folks, this is one of the disadvantages of radio. You can't see the eyes, the light up in Christine's eyes, as I can see here, and the fact that we're casually dressed as well, because we can get away with that being on the radio. But because to me, the times I've had the opportunity to go to Tohono O'Chul, that's really what it is. You may go there with the intention of enjoying, you know, an exhibit of paintings, but I guarantee you'll walk away saying, I had no idea X. Or we went there once for an evening performance. Vince Redhouse did an outdoor concert, Native American flutist, of course, from here in Tucson. And while his music was beautiful, no doubt about it, what caught me was actually that the wind rushing through the trees and the local area frogs, birds, and crickets were every bit the chorus.
Yes.
And that's the unexpected nature of what you folks can offer at this oasis, plus the fact that you have both early morning all the way to late night venues.
Yes, absolutely. What you've touched upon is really, I think, the crux of what Tohono O'Chul, and I personally hope to bring to our community, and that is to rekindle this sense of wonder and possibility. And the fact that no one can totally plan their life. They can have set a trajectory, but there's so much opportunity and joy in being able to open up to things that you could never imagine until you get there.
Yeah, oh, I like that. In fact, many times it isn't the get there that's important. It's the circuitous route that you take to indeed do that.
Exactly.
Now, your programs, of course, also really appeal to people of all ages, but perhaps you could talk specifically about your youth-oriented programs.
Yes, and I think I've touched upon that in some ways, because I feel I was fortunate enough to be have grown up in a place where I could get the best of within 2 hours of New York City, but actually lived in the woods, played in the streams, had a lot of unstructured playtime. And I think that's so sorely missing for today's children and youth. They're so structured. The world is very different. People perceive it as dangerous, and in some ways it is more dangerous. You can't get on your bike and just ride across town the way, or ride through the woods the way people used to do. And I think Tohono O'Chul definitely is a major contributor to bringing that sense of play and free unstructured play. At my office, it's in a 1937 adobe building, mm-hmm. and it faces into the children's garden. And all of us in our administrative offices, we're brought back to the purpose of why we're there. When we hear the children playing, exclaiming, we see them running up mm-hmm. the walkway saying to their parents, you know, the water, because we have this wonderful water feature where they can put a little boat in on the top and have it flow down and go and catch it and splash in it. And, you know, it's the parents enjoy it. The children enjoy it. And yes, they're also learning. We have structured programs for children as well. But to my mind, I think that in an urban setting, one of the most important things is to provide a safe place for children to experience free play.
Mm-hmm. And also, surprisingly, how quiet it is there. That's, I mean, right. 50 acres provide you a buffer, but on the other standpoint, there's some kind of vortex that is there at Tohono O'Chill, mm-hmm. I'm convinced mm-hmm. of it. Well, I know you walked into the studio carrying a favorite book of yours.
I did.
And you thought that would be something you'd like to share, something that really has influenced your own pursuit of your personal and professional goals, and I can't help but think if any of your staff is listening that they should be taking note. This could be also guiding how you're going to lead Tohono O'Chill, but share with that book with us.
I think I have shared this book with more than 50 people. And when I looked at this book, I thought, oh, okay, another kind of words of wisdom, self-help. And it claims on the back that, you know, Arianna Huffington, you're going to share this book with everyone you know. And oh, yeah, okay. I was blown away by this book. It's called This Is Not the Life I Ordered, 50 Ways to Keep Your Head Above Water When Life Keeps Dragging You Down. What I find most amazing about this book is that it's written by four, by any accounts, extraordinarily successful women. Yeah, and these women, they aren't telling us about how great they are. We can read their resumes. It's all on paper. What they're telling us is about underlying that, the unbelievable hardships they went through and had to overcome, and how they did that by joining together in very specific ways to help each other. This is a book about wisdom. It's about courage. It's about integrity. It's about steel, having that balance of steel and flexibility in life. And it's about passion. And it's a wonderfully fun read.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, if you see for you to take a step, you know, you've been at the Nature Conservatory as long as you were for 14 years, and then to step to the Arizona Sonoran Desert Museum, which some people view, I'm sure, in our state as one of the granddaddies that we've got. What prompted your move then to Tohono O'Chill? I mean, was it just on your radar screen for the longest time?
Well, I think I like to, I know you've heard this a lot, but I do like to hear, I do like the idea that we work to work ourselves out of a job.
Okay, yep.
Because it's most fun when we're really the right person in the right place at the right time. I felt that Tohono O'Chill had just such tremendous potential. There's nothing broken there. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that, you know, I felt I had to single-handedly go and fix. But for me personally, I always loved the arts. And that connection to art and nature was just, you know, an irresistible draw. I also love the intimacy of Tohono O'Chill Park. There's a lot going on there, but you always feel, I personally feel like it's at home. It's a very intimate and personal experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, how big is your staff that you have at the park now?
We have about 35 staff.
But, of course, I know it runs with a very rich cross-section of volunteers. Tell us about your volunteers.
Oh, my. Oh, we have more than 300 volunteers.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And they are talented, dedicated, upbeat, and they are the backbone of our organization.
Yeah, that's lovely. And the board that supports your efforts, I think, I know that's another core
yes.
element to any nonprofit, is to have a good sounding board for, you know, everyone there, but also as an advising team for you.
Yes, and getting to know them through the interview process at Tohono O'Chill Park, I realized that they were the kinds of visionaries and partners that I had really sought to work with.
That's great. I had introduced you earlier in the show as a cultural ecologist. I have to ask, what is that?
Well, what that is, it's an area within, it really brings together my love of nature and understanding of how people work. what it is, it's the intersection between people's values, beliefs, perceptions, and actions in accordance with their natural environment. Hmm. So it comes from the one side of knowing something about, I'm not a biologist, but knowing something about the ecology of our area, or the biodiversity, one of the richest, most diverse areas in the world. And that's very surprising to most people.
It is,
the
indeed.
The desert is a barren place, and definitely not so. So that side of it, coming together with a cultural part, and the interconnection there for me is because if you can see the connections between how people relate to their environment, you then have an opportunity to motivate wise stewardship of our natural world. It's also where cultural anthropology and marketing intersect in a field called consumer behavior.
Indeed. And so, and your new role here now joining Tehonichil Park has quite an established base and I think is nationally recognized. But do you have a 5-year project as forward thought of the other roles or opportunities for the park now under your leadership?
I absolutely do. I think first and foremost, and again, harkening back to what your previous guest was talking about, is to really make sure that everyone inside in the inner circle, kind of, you know, the pool of working out, that we respect and work together in the most productive, efficient, effective, and joyful way possible. Because emanating from that will come, if you can't do it at home, I don't believe that you can effectively do that in the larger community. Mm-hmm. So I see that as a core. I think another thing that we need to do is really to get to know not only our internal audiences, but again, that more global view of our community, to recognize that there are people out there who have no idea who we are or what we do, to understand what they want and need, and to be able to communicate what we have in a way that's meaningful to them.
And so have you in mind how to go about untapping that resource of next level inquiry or the future
yes.
constituents? How
yes.
are you going to go about doing that?
Well, absolutely. Actually, right now we're doing a market research study with a very talented team of Eller MBA students, specifically looking at that factor. And we'll be doing some focus groups and things on our own out there in the community, as well as just simply every opportunity we get to interact with people, asking them those questions.
Christine, are there other institutes similar to yours at other places around the country? I mean, do you have a colleague group, I call, that hits all this same space like you do, art, nature, culture?
Well, what I would say is that right here in Tucson, there's a group, not only botanical gardens or arts organizations, that there aren't, I don't think there are that many that have the kind of diverse array. Mm-hmm. That's Tehonichil, but we have a fabulous arts, nature, culture, and heritage community here, and we partner together, the executive directors of many of them, most of them here in Tucson, work together under the banner of NACHOS, Nature, Arts, Culture, Heritage Organizations. And what we do is we come together at least once a month, and we really share best practices. We share our issues and help problem solve together.
That's great. What are some of the biggest challenges you all face together, and how could our listeners help?
Well, I think one of the issues that came up recently is that we're different than some businesses, because at the very, of course, we need to stay afloat. Mm-hmm. But we all agree that our real mission is to serve the community. And I think that there, in some regards, when we do our best and we show our best, we get the expectation of people that this will always be here and that it supports itself. I think that's really, really critical. There are organizations that, even with the best programs and charging for some of mm-hmm. our events, you know, maybe 50% of what we need to keep the doors open comes through volunteers, in-kind support, and donations.
So I don't want to close without letting our listeners know that truly your participation and help for organizations such as Christine Conti's, you can go to TohonaChulPark.org and make a donation, as well as see what's coming up on their site. Also, their number here locally is 520-742-6455. And I know you've got a big fundraiser coming at the end of the month.
Absolutely.
Your spring.
It's the Sonoran Spring Celebration. It's our one time in the year of the year major fundraiser party with all things garden and art.
That's great. Well, we'll look forward. I know that I'm going to be coming and bringing a cast of individuals with us. Christine Conti, thank you so very much for joining us, and we'll look forward to continuing to watch the changes in TohonaChulPark as well as tracking your interesting career.
Thank you so much. I'm off to the Plant Hill, and I hope to see you all there.
Very good. Thank you, Christine.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.